Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to our College Talk Bible Book Club with Enolyn and Sarahlyn. We are delighted that you've chosen to join us to hear a word from the Lord. Please take note of our new ministry day and time, which is Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio and live on Mary Washington's social media platform. And our Blog Talk Radio link is www.blogtalkradio.com/goodnewsforall. And before we get started, we're going to yield the floor to Sister Sarahlyn so she can open us up with prayer.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for allowing us to assemble here, Lord, and seek a message that you have for us, Lord. I ask for the listening audience that they will hear the word that changes their life, whether it be live here or in the audience. Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And our segment overview, for this section is, what do I believe? And it's very important to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we are discussing the following 10 chapters that we discussed about, and they are in our archives.
Yes.
And these following 10 chapters, they introduce us and expose us to the key belief of the Christian life, and it is God. And second, personal God, knowing that he's a personal God. Three, salvation, what salvation is and what he gives to us. Four, the Bible. Five, identity in Christ. Six, the church. Seven, humanity. Eight, compassion. Nine, stewardship. And 10, eternity.
Amen.
And these are fundamental principles of our faith. And it's important, like I said before, to know why we believe it and what we believe it. And personally, I believe the Holy Bible, and I believe it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And I believe because I have a relationship with the Lord, I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And it's not because of what my mom or what my sister or what anybody believes, it's because I believe and because I have a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And on our first point, our first chapter, it's God. And our key question is, who is God? Who is the God of the Holy Bible? And we know that the God of the Holy Bible is Creator God, who has no beginning or end, who interacts with his creation as a plural identity, and who exhibits preeminence over all gods, lowercase gods, G-O-D-S, and beings. And in Genesis first, the first chapter, in the first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So here we see that everything begins with God. The Bible never seeks to defend the existence of God. It is stated. God has revealed himself so powerfully to through his creation that at the end of the day, no one will have an excuse for not putting the trust in him. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen,
amen.
So here we see that even in my personal life, there's things that I can't explain. Like, how was the universe made? It was made, and I know because I read the word, and it says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Yes.
That is the one and true God, the all-powerful, mighty God, and he is the one and true God. And we see in the book of Deuteronomy that the Lord, he proved himself. He proved himself, and he showed his power to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. The Egyptians had hundreds of gods, but when the Lord sent 10 plagues, they cried out to their gods all day long, but the Lord was the only one that stopped them.
Amen.
And then I remember that Pharaoh would call Moses, and he would say, stop these plagues, I'll let your people go. And it was until Moses went and prayed to the Lord, Yahweh, the one and true God, that the plagues went away. So
Amen.
Their gods were nothing compared to the true and mighty God.
Amen.
And then our third point of who is God, we see that God is three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we Christians believe that there's one God, but he's three persons in one. And we see this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. And it says, then God said, let us. So we see here that God is talking to himself in different persons. Make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God himself is a mini community.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And we see that in our last point of knowing God and who God is, we see how the Trinity works in our lives. And we see how that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 14, and it says, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, so he received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here, notice how all three members of the Trinity are involved in our lives. So God the Father, who loves us and sought a way for us to come back to him. And Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, provided the way back to God by offering himself as a sacrifice in our place. And now that we believe, he's given us his spirit, the Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Trinity, who fellowships with us as we journey through this Christian life and guiding us and comforting us every step of the way. Amen, amen.
Amen.
And going on to the second topic, the second chapter, is personal God. And we see the key question here is, does God care about me? And the key idea is, I believe God is involved in and cares about my daily life.
Amen.
And in this chapter, we have three key points. God is good, God has a plan, and God cares for us. And here we see that, I just think about how awesome it is to have a personal God.
Amen.
That we can commune with through prayer.
Amen.
And he talks to us and he listens.
Amen.
He listens to our petitions.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
He's involved and cares about our daily life. And his ultimate goal and plan for us offers hope.
Amen.
It offers prosperity. It offers a future.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So when we have that mindset change and we realize that you can go out in the world with joy, with confidence,
yes.
with
yes.
this peace, and because you have someone who always cares about you.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen. Amen. And going on to the third point, salvation. And our key question is, how do I have a relationship with God? And before we get to that point, how do we have a relationship with God? We have to know what the problem is, why we aren't born into a relationship with God. And in the beginning, God made us to have a relationship with him. But the first humans, Adam and Eve, they disobeyed him and they sinned. And that brought sin forth into the earth. And it was passed on to every generation. So now we are born from, we're conceived in iniquity. But the solution is when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we accept him as Lord and Savior, we acknowledge that he died for us and that through his blood we are cleansed.
Amen.
And the outcome is that we can accept that eternal life that he gives us. We can accept the joy, the peace, the happiness, and know that he cleansed us from all sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
And we have here the fourth chapter is the Bible. And the key question is, how do I know God and his will for my life? And the key idea is, I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God that guides my beliefs and actions. And here we have key points, three key points again. God speaks, the authority of Scripture, the purpose of Scripture.
Thank you.
And we see that the Bible is our instruction manual.
Amen.
And we can use the Bible with, because it's for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training.
Amen.
And we can use the word as our weapon to fight against the enemy, just like how Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan. He used the word to fight against.
Amen, amen,
amen. And we see that God has given and preserved his words for us so we can rely on it and guide us, guide our lives, and because it's the truth. And whatever God promises his word, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Because God always keeps his promises.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen,
amen,
amen. And on our fifth chapter, it was identity in Christ. And the key idea is, who am I? And the key question is, who am I? And the key idea is, I believe I'm significant because of my position as a child of God. So when we accept Jesus Christ in our life, we become a new creature. That old man is no longer us. We died when we accepted Jesus Christ. And who am I? We are children of God. We've been adopted into his family. We can now call him Abba. We can yell his name. We can scream his name, and he'll call us and know that he'll answer our prayer because he is our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
And when we believe and we receive this gift of grace, we become a new person with a new identity.
Amen.
And a new outlook in our life. Like Sister Sarah then had mentioned, we have a new mindset now.
Yes.
We have a mindset of Christ. And our worth is no longer defined by what we do, by our jobs. But it's not by that. It's not what we own, what we wear, but it's by who we know and what relationship we have with him.
Yes.
We are significant because we are children of God, the King, the Almighty, powerful God, the true on God. And we know that, and we've been adopted into his family, and he cares for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen. And the next chapter is chapter 6, church. And the key question is, how will God accomplish his plan? And the key idea is, I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose on earth. And we have the three main points in this chapter, founding, expansion, plan, and purpose. And we see that the plan and purpose of the church was to encourage, be encouraged in the word, and helps us bring people to God.
Yes.
And the primary plan for church was to spread the good news.
Amen.
And we see in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, to spread the good news.
Yes, yes.
And God has made a covenant with us, a promise, through the church, because church is a community in order to fulfill God's will for his kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And in chapter 7, humanity, our key question is, how does God see us? And the key idea is, I believe all people are loved by God and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So here we see, it takes us to the origin, and it tells us in the beginning how God created everything and how God is the origin of all life. Again, he created everything. He is all-powerful, almighty God, and the heaven and earth were created by him. We were created by him. He is the creator of all. And then in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, he created everything in 7 days, and he said that everything was good. Everything was good. So we see that the Lord created everything for good. But then mankind, they decided to disobey God. And then we see the devastating effects of that. We see the devastating human condition because of that. We see that God created everything. And he created everything on earth for us, so we can use it and have it as a resource. But then, when like I mentioned before, Adam and Eve, the first humans, they sinned, and they caused that sin to be in us. And now we have sin, but now we have our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yes.
Now he saves us. Now we don't have that future of death. Now we have eternal life in him when we choose to believe as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we need to see people how God sees them. So we need to see people with that compassion. We need to love people. We need to love God and love our neighbor. He said that in his word. So it's very important for us to love God and care for others, because he cares for every single one of us, even for the people that haven't accepted him. He still loves us. He still loves them. You see, he loves everybody. He doesn't love the sin. Sin is what separates us from him. But he loves every single one of us. And we should too. He's not respectful of a person. So we see that Jesus did that in this earth realm, and we should do that as well.
Amen.
And the next chapter is chapter 8, compassion. The key question is, what about the poor and injustice? The key idea is, I believe God. God calls all Christians to show compassion to people in need. And the key point is, God, full of justice and compassion, Israel, call to compassion, Jesus, model of compassion, believers, the ongoing call to compassion. And I searched up what compassion means in the biblical dictionary, and it says, compassion means suffer with. So you're literally suffering with the person, you're experiencing their pain. And God calls us to help people who are suffering, to empathize with them. It doesn't mean we fix their problem. Only God can fix their problem.
Amen.
But we enter into their pain, and we empathize with them, because God himself is merciful and full of compassion, and we are made in this image.
Amen.
We are called to be compassionate towards others, and we are called to, like Sister Annalyn said, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In chapter 9, we read stewardship. So the key question is, what is God's call in my life? And the key idea is, I believe everything I am and everything I own belongs to God. Amen. So we've been discussing that God created everything, and he created it for our good pleasure and for his good pleasure. So everything that we have belongs to him. So like our cars, everything like that. He wants us to have that, but when we put them above him, that's when we have problems.
Amen.
He is Lord and Savior of life. So when you set them as Lord, he is Lord above everything and everything in your life. So here, the chapter is called stewardship, and I looked up the word steward, and it says the person whose job it is to organize a particular event or to provide services to particular people or to take care of a particular place. So he's given us authority and power, and he's given us power, and we need to accept that power. We need to accept that we have dominion over anybody that would come against us, anybody and anything, and that everything that we have, we need to acknowledge that God is the owner of it. And we need to give him what is due to him.
Amen.
He's made us managers of everything, and that's our role. A role. We don't need to have a title in the church to be a faithful servant or a steward of the Lord. That's what we do when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We do what the Word says, and the Word says serve, and the Word says give. So that's what we should do with our resources.
Yeah.
And he has everything. We need to acknowledge that that he's the one that gives us children. Like the book talks about the story of Hannah and how she was pleading the Lord to give her a son. And when the Lord did give her a son, she dedicated him to the temple. Like she waited until he was weaned. And then she gave him up to temple to serve the Lord. And then the Lord gave her more children. And then here it talks about their money. And then it talks about how that in the Malachi chapter 6, verses 6 through chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. And it says here that God is telling the people that he's the people has robbed him. And the people are like, how? In tithe and offering. So the Lord, he gives us the resources. He gives us the money. Well, we are supposed to put him first place in everything. We're supposed to give him that 10% and the offerings. And then of our homes, we're supposed to give other people hospitality and allow them. And over everything we do and our bodies, remember that we are the temple of the Lord. We need to take everything that he's given us. Even our bodies belong to him. Amen.
Amen. The last chapter is chapter 10, eternity. And the key question is, what happens next? And the key is, I believe there is a heaven and a hell and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish his eternal kingdom. And we see here that the only way to be caught up with the Lord in heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. He is the way maker. And we see that those who embrace Christ in this life are reconciled with God and become a new creation with a new identity. And for the Christian, not only can life be abundant today, but anticipating what is in store for us when we are reunited with God in the new heaven and the new earth is simply breathtaking. And we see here that the earthly body goes into the grave, the spirit and the spirit can go one of two places, in God's presence where there's joy and there's peace,
Amen.
Or in a place of torment where the soul awaits final judgment.
Yeah.
And we see here that there is still good news that you can still repent and be saved and be caught up with Jesus and God when Jesus returns.
Amen. 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 And as a recap for all the chapters we've gone through, we went through them pretty quick, but we really encourage you guys to go through our archives and we'll talk about them more detailedly, individually more detailed. But what I want you guys to take from this recap is that what we believe in our heart defines who we become. What we believe in our heart, it will show up in how we talk and how we react and our reactions and how we walk, how we stand, everything. It will show up in everything. And God wants us to become like Jesus, and he's given us his Holy Bible. This, like Sister Sherilyn has said, this is the guideline for us and how we should live. And God is the one who created us to be like that, and it's the most truthful and powerful way to live. Amen. That's a testament. I can be a witness to that, because once I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I really had that mindset change. The things that I did, the things that I see people do, I was like, what? Like, really accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, reading his word really has changed our lives, and I really admonish you guys to read his word, really study his word, and know that this is a journey. We're growing in grace, and this is a journey that to become like Jesus is by thinking like Jesus. And just to finish this off, though scripture does say this, in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up from his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
Yeah.
And that's what we see. We see that whatever you're full of, if you're full of darkness, what if you're full of light, that will come out of your mouth, that will come out of all your reactions.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And closing this off, we're giving this to Sherilyn so she can close this off with prayer.
Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to assemble here. Thank you, Lord, for speaking through us, Lord. I ask for the listening audience, for salvation, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for all those who receive it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We thank God for you. And as I'm transitioning with them, I just want to kind of close out a recap for tonight. It has been a wonderful lesson.